Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live, everyone. A mega merger between Steelbirds as Frontier and Spirit Airlines aim to create America's most competitive ultra-low-fare airline. Joining us now is Helane Becker, and she is the Managing Director and Senior Research Analyst over at Cowen. Great to have you here with us, Helane. This creates the fifth largest airline operator in the U.S. I want to get your reaction to the tie-up, and particularly if these airlines, either one of them, could have competed as standalone offerings.
Well, yes. So I think it's a great transaction. We're assuming it gets regulatory approvals and that it closes in the second half of this year. And so synergies will take 3 to 5 years to work through. Airline mergers always take a very long time. Could they have competed individually? Yes, but it wouldn't have been a very strong airline. The way we think about that is, I look at it from a pilot perspective. Both airlines have quite a lot of aircraft on order. They're taking delivery of 210 aircraft in the next 5 years combined. And at about the rate of 14 or 15 pilots per aircraft, well, we did 14 because obviously you can't have a number of pilots. So it's either 14 or 16. So 14 pilots per aircraft means they need to hire about 1,000 pilots a year for the next 5 years. And then you have American, Delta, and United, who are combined hiring about the same amount of pilots, 5,000 combined a year. They said earlier this year they were hiring between 200 pilots a month. So you kind of work through that math. And, you know, and then there's Southwest and the other airlines that are hiring because everybody is getting back to growth after this pandemic dissipates. And,
right,
you know, you're looking at 7,000 pilots a year. It's going to be hard to attract that many people to the profession, given the rules and how hard it is to train a pilot these days.
Helane, and earlier in your answer, you mentioned that you do ultimately expect this deal will receive regulatory approval. But what kind of scrutiny do you expect this deal to come under out of Washington, especially as the Biden administration has cast some skepticism on tie-ups, especially in the airline industry?
Yeah, so, you know, you think about that, and it's a great question. And the skepticism is across the board because the airline industry in general took a lot of money from the government to survive. But when you think about it, had they not taken that money and had the government not been supportive of the industry, we would have been in a position where we're not now. I mean, aviation is, in order to have a robust economy, you need a robust aviation industry. In addition to FedEx and UPS, the U.S. airlines helped get vaccine around this country. It's part of the growth, right? People are traveling, especially leisure travelers are we're back to, on a leisure perspective, pre-pandemic levels. It's business travel and international travel that's lagging. So that is not, that's really not part of the equation since Spirit and Frontier tend to be more leisure-focused airlines. But I think this is really pro-consumer. And in that, look, they're not even, think about it from a market share perspective. On a combined basis, you mentioned it's the fifth largest airline. That's about 7-8% market share. Right. American is the largest with 22% share. Then you have Southwest at 20, and then United at about 18 and Delta at about 17. So at 7, 7.5, you're still not even close to the fourth largest airline. You still have a long way to go.
Just to jump in here, because when we think about the consumer, pricing is relative. So with one less competitor that both low-cost airlines are going up against now, what does that do for the consumer pricing, even if we are seeing a higher pace or cadence of leisure travel out there, absent the business travel, which really accounts for the majority of the profits in this industry? What does that signal for where consumers may be paying at different price levels in the future as a result of a tie-up and one less competitor, and how these companies, quite frankly, may invest in that passenger experience too?
So these companies do not compete on very many overlap. I think when I look, they have three overlapping routes. And two of those overlapping routes are outside the country. I think the only market in which the two have service is Orlando. They might serve similar cities, but they don't serve them from the same hub locations, if you will. Frontier tends to be more Western focused, and Spirit tends to be more Eastern focused, and East United States. And so I think from a consumer perspective, this will enable the two of them to expand their footprint and expand their networks in a way neither one could do before. I mean, I think, you know, think about what happened earlier today when Frontier flights were grounded because of a network outage. There are a lot of markets in which they only have one or maybe two flights a day, and they fly very high load factors, 80-85%, which means on an aircraft that seats 180 people, we'll say roughly 150-160 of those seats are sold. Now you only have two flights a day. So what happens to all the people who got canceled off the earlier, say off of an earlier flight during this morning's outage? Those people either have to buy a ticket on a more expensive airline, and at the last minute, you know it's going to be expensive, or they have to wait a day or two to fly. I'm sure they don't want to do that. So I think this is pro consumer in a way that other airline mergers we've seen aren't. This is all about growth. And I think that's how it should be viewed, more than about eliminating a competitor, given that the right. two don't overlap.
And Helane, with this deal, there are still a few outstanding questions. And one of the big ones is who's ultimately going to be named as CEO and as part of the management team. Who do you think is ultimately a front runner to lead this newly combined company?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer. I thought it was really interesting that there's going to be a committee named to figure out who is going to be the CEO and where the headquarters are going to be. I'm sure the folks in Denver, Denver is a great city to live in, but so is Miramar, right? South Florida, it's warm all the time. So maybe people like that. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Certainly. Helane Becker, Cowen Senior Research Analyst, joining us here today. Thanks for helping us break down this deal and all of the tie-ups therein. Helane, we appreciate it.